Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show has to do with the power of negativism to strip away or to rob the believing ones of a fantastic life of faith. I'm going to be reading to you from Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching." This narrative is also given in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58, and also in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. This appears to be the second rejection that Jesus has had from his own people. And note carefully, verse 1, that he came into his own country. And as was his custom, he, on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. This was his custom. And note verse 2, "And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" And so one can get what is going on here. In the Greek, the word astonished is a very interesting word that comes over to us. And the idea of this particular word is that they were smitten. The Greek is ekplesso. They were stricken with amazement at his ability and at his gifts and at the mighty words that they had heard that have been wrought by his hands. And so he had a resume, and he had credentials which warranted their faith and their belief. But I want you to see that there is a difference between a true struggle or true doubt with regard to faith, and then there is a false type of doubt. And what we're going to see here in Mark 6 is a false kind of debt. His his credentials are legitimate. He has a public record of note. And yet, look what we are told. And notice the nature of the question that are given by the people in verse 2. From whence has this man these things? And with what wisdom, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now, this type of reasoning, of course, it is negative, and the statements are derogatory, and they are the result of what has been termed mental attitude sin. And the question continues in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter or mason? But the context seems to warrant the term carpenter. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brothers of James, Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And then at the end of verse 3, we read, and they were offended at him. The particular word that's used here, offended, is the word from which we get our word scandal. They were scandalized by him. The Greek word here is scandalon, or a trap spring. And it is very interesting because the scandalon in the time of the Jesus, this particular word meant to commit that which leads to the fall or ruin of someone. They were offended at him. Sin always complicates. Mental attitude sin complicates one's life. There is not that clarity. There is not that singleness of vision. There is no room for faith. And so here is a false type of doubt that has at its center not the acceptance, not looking for that which is positive within an individual, but it looks for that which one can condemn an individual. And so the major premise here is given in a way that seems to be plausible, but it is in fact tainted. The major premise that they have about him is tainted with unbelief. There is a conclusion at the beginning of their reasoning that will not allow them, or they will not allow themselves to align themselves with his positive actions, his positive words, the positive social changes that they have seen come through him. They only want to remember the fact that his family was there and that at one time he was a carpenter. And so the ministry, the fantastic ministry that he has been doing is rejected by them. He is still the carpenter. Have you dealt with people who want you to remember things of your past and who want to lock you into the past and who do not want to release you from the past? They always want to believe that you are still this person from the past. And so they hold you in this prison. Their thoughts are concrete about you, and they have walled you in. And the past, as far as they're concerned, your past is also your present. But look at the unreality. Look at the inherent, and I'm going to use this term, look at the inherent prejudice of that particular viewpoint and see how tainted it really is. And so they were offended at him. And with his incredible clarity, Jesus knew the root cause of their rejection. And so he says in verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So they do not have, in other words, they do not have that clarity, that objectivity, to see that this is a new situation. They have invested themselves fully in the old situation. They do not understand, they cannot see that who Jesus is has been fully vetted by all of the incredible works that he has done to date. So this is indeed a startling narrative. And we read in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Apostia, and he went round about the villages teaching apostia, or apostia in the Greek here. And so the Greek word for faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And so when in the Greek when one wants to show a negation of a position, then one takes the alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and place it in front of the noun as is done here. So it negates of the reality of what something is. So there are apostia, a rejection of his teachings, of his ministry, and of what God had brought to them in the person of Jesus Christ. This type of collective rejection, this type of the collective lack of faith in which individuals have chosen, not based upon the relevant available evidence, but contrary to the evidence. The evidence means nothing. It is, in fact, their own entrenched that will, which, well, they will not be blessed. And so notice the attitude that Jesus himself has toward these individuals. There were some whom he healed and others because they have rejected who he is, amidst their healing. And notice that God does not impose his will upon those who do not want his will for their lives. God does not impose healing on those who do not want to be healed. And so this very powerful passage is wonderful for us. It is important that it is there. We need to see that. We need to look at Jesus on the basis of his credentials on, and his credentials testify as to who he is. We don't need to go looking for other extraneous evidence, and there is meager, let me say, evidence outside of the scriptures to know who God is and what God has chosen to do to the Christ. My name is Dr. Josiah Richards. Speak with you next time on the Mouth Talk.